It has the ability to get right inside the other person's skin. Now, that's different from getting under his skin.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The sheer callousness of the pagan world is an almost incredible and inconceivable thing to a man who has known and experienced Christian mercy. And when Jesus Christ came, he shattered the morality and the moral callousness of the ancient world and introduced a whole new way of life, a whole new ethic of life. When he said, he shattered the morality of that ancient world when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." I would suggest that the whole of our life ought to become an expression and a proclamation of the fact that we are merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The whole of our life ought to become an expression and a proclamation of the fact that we are merciful. And if I can do so very quickly, I'd like to share with you three facets of mercy with which we must deal in order to properly understand this beatitude. First, we want to look at the properties of mercy. And I want to give you a twofold word. One, what it is not, and two, what it is. First, the properties of mercy. And then, very quickly, I want to show you the practice of mercy in the New Testament narrative. And we'll look at two examples, one a little bit in detail, one we'll just skim. And then, for a moment, we'll touch on the prospect of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now first, let's look at the properties of mercy. What are we talking about when we talk about mercy? We have to be very careful in precisely defining this concept. First, we want to discuss what it is not. To be merciful does not mean to be easygoing. Many people think that mercy means to smile at transgression or lawbreaking. That is not the essence of mercy. It is not smiling or winking at sin or pretending that it doesn't exist or that it doesn't matter or sweeping it under the rug. Mercy is never a compromise of holiness and truth and righteousness, and that's the kind of God we have. Well, then what is it? What is mercy? I'd like to define it and for a moment delineate it. I would say in terms of defining mercy that first of all, mercy is the outgoing love of God reflected and reproduced in the Christian. It's outgoing in the sense that it can never remain inside of us. It is outgoing love, the outgoing love of God reflected and reproduced in the life of the Christian. It's the attitude of the man for whom the needs of others are more clamant than his own, and the sorrows of others are more piercing and poignant than his own. In other words, the merciful are the fellowship of the dead to themselves, but alive to Christ and others. They give themselves to meet not their own needs, but the needs of others. And in the meeting of the needs of others, their own needs are met. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It comes back to them. What you sow, you reap, and you always reap more than you sow. Mercy is the outgoing love of God. It can never remain inside. But then I want to say something else. Mercy is not only the outgoing love of God. Let me expand it a little further. Mercy is the individualized outgoing love of God. In other words, it is not a vague, generalized benevolence. The outgoing love of the Christian is an outgoing love not of humanity in general, but of men in particular. Not of humanity in general, but of men in particular. You remember the comic strip character, "I love humanity, it's people I can't stand." Mercy is never like that. It is not a general sentiment toward humanity in general. It is a deep commitment to individuals It is the characteristic of a man who does not have his eyes on the ends of the earth, but who is ministering to the sphere of people in his world of influence. It is an individualized, outgoing love. You know, it is possible to have a sentimental love for this nondescript entity we call humanity, and at the very same moment to find the claims of some individual man upon us nothing more than a nuisance. It is possible to be saying in general terms, I love humanity, and telling other people to keep away from me, I'm too busy to deal with you. That is hypocrisy. That is not mercy. Mercy is not simply outgoing love, it is individual outgoing love. It is an interest not only in humanity in general, but individuals in particular, in the world of influence that you and I have. But I want to go one step further with respect to this definition of mercy. Mercy is not only outgoing love, it is not only individualized outgoing love. Let me use one other word to describe it. It is actualized outgoing love. In other words, it is not simply a sentiment, whether with respect to humanity at large or an individual in particular, it is not simply a sentiment, it is a way of life. It is not simply an emotion, it is an action. The New Testament does not say of God, God so loved the world and stop there. God's love was transmuted into action. He actualized his love and his mercy. The abstract became concrete. So the New Testament does not say that God so loved the world and stop there. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He actualized it. He did something concrete. It's not an abstract feeling or sentiment or philosophical idea. It is a reality that has touched my life and has touched your life if you're a Christian. This mercy is an outgoing love which manifests itself in action for individual men. It is something that lodges in the heart but then expresses itself in the hand. An ideal is not yours until it comes out of your fingertips. It lodges itself in the heart and expresses itself in the hand. The desire to help becomes the deed of help, as it did with God. This kind of mercy of which Jesus is speaking, I'm giving you ideas that are based on the Greek and the Hebrew words behind this concept. Eleos is the Greek word and chesed is the Old Testament equivalent. This kind of mercy is the kind of mercy which has the ability, see if you follow me now, it has the ability to get right inside the other person's skin. Now that's different from getting under his skin. Some of us are very efficient at that. It is the kind of mercy which has the ability to get right inside the other man's skin until it can see things with his eyes, think things with his mind, feel things with his emotions. It means so identifying ourselves with another man's suffering circumstances that we really do understand what he's experiencing and then sacrificially giving ourselves to help him out of that circumstance. That is mercy. You say, now wait a minute, is that a biblical concept, this idea of getting inside the other man's skin, so to speak? Have you ever thought about what Jesus Christ did in the incarnation? Do you know what God did in the incarnation? In Jesus Christ, in the most literal sense, God got inside the skin of men. He became flesh. He came as a man. He came seeing and feeling and thinking as men do. He selflessly identified with our sins and our sorrows and our sufferings, and then he sacrificially did what was necessary to lift us up out of those things. That is the supreme demonstration of mercy. And if we wish to reduplicate the behavior and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we must be merciful. What is mercy? Mercy is the outgoing love of God. It cannot remain inside. It must be outgoing. It is the individualized outgoing love of God. It is a love and a mercy not just for humanity, but for men individually. It is the actualized, individualized, outgoing love of God. It's not just an abstract sentiment. It is a concrete action. It's the kind of thing that fully identifies with people who have needs, in a sense, gets right inside of their skin, and then does what is essential and what is necessary to deliver them. Blessed is that kind of a man. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, if I were to delineate the factors that are involved in the expression of mercy, I would list for you five. There are five factors in the expression, as I see it, there are five factors in the expression of biblical mercy to which we are being called in this beatitude. These five factors always occur whenever biblical mercy is expressed. The first is pain. Somebody hurts. It always begins with pain and then comes mercy. And the essence of mercy is bearing that pain with them, getting inside of them, so to speak, vicariously, feeling and sensing that pain and doing what is necessary to deliver them. It begins with pain. The second factor in the expression of biblical mercy is power. You cannot show mercy unless you have the power, either to hurt or to help. You cannot show mercy unless you have power. A man says, I want to be merciful, but I have no power. I would like to help, but I have no resources. You must have power, either to hurt or to help. Let's say for a moment that you have somebody in your power, someone who has transgressed against you or someone who has hurt you. And for a moment, the tables have been changed. And now it's no longer they who have you in their power, but you have them in your power. How do you feel at that moment of power? The way you feel at that moment of power towards someone who has hurt you or transgressed against you will tell you whether or not you are merciful. Maybe you will say something like this, well now, isn't this an interesting circumstance? I think I will exert my rights. I think I will be legal. This man, he wronged me, and now the table is turned, and I have him in my power. I think I will exercise legality. He wronged me, and I will wrong him. He hurt me, and I will hurt him. That is the antithesis of mercy. And I want to tell you that I thank God that he does not deal with me on that basis. Because I have hurt God. I have grieved God's Spirit. I've wounded God with my sins. And in mercy, instead of hurting me, he hurt his Son. And I'm delivered. That's mercy. I'm called to that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
They saw without really seeing. They had power to help, and they had power to hurt, and they decided to hurt by doing nothing.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.